And Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder. Soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, again, teach us, lead us,
guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says, so we can use it for every part of our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination, brightness, like the brightness of your coming. And so God, we ask you to help us today as we receive this truth, to receive it in light of our situations that we're dealing with. Enlighten us in our lives. Wake us up, God. Wake us up to the victory that we have, Lord. Let us not waste 1 minute of this time as we receive from you today. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Give somebody a high five before you're seated, and let's go in our Bibles to Proverbs 1 and 7 quickly, and then we've got other places to go very quickly. Again, we recognize all of our helps, ministry workers. Thank God for you. We took time for that today. Ate into some of the word time, but we'll do what we need to do and receive what we need to receive, all right? Let's go to Proverbs 1 and 7, please. Proverbs 1 and 7. Please bring your Bibles to church. If you don't bring it there, I don't know where you're going to bring it. But make sure you bring your Bibles to church. And if you have an electronic device, go ahead and you can use that. That'll work. But I like to hear the pages myself personally. I like to write in my Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no sin. There's no thou shalt not write in your Bible. I haven't found that scripture. So it's important for you to be able to personalize the word of God. And that's part of what we're saying when we say write in your Bible. Okay? But you don't have to. But I like to. All right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. I just want to establish this before we move on. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Now, we should have some reverence for God. And that's part of what happens to people that do not have a relationship with God. Part of the real problem with that is that there is a sort of a disdain, sort of a contempt against God, almost like a sneering against God. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you really want to get to know the Lord, you have to begin with a reverence for God. And see, when we have a reverence for God, shame does become a part of our life. We would be ashamed to do certain things. I would be ashamed to do certain things because of who I am as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so we should have the fear of the Lord. Not that God's going to come and hurt you or beat you up or whatever, but because of the fact that I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to do things that will cause God to be disappointed in me. I reverence God. I respect God. I respect that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. It's not just a flippant thing. That's why this book is not just like any other book on my bookshelf. This is the word of God. And I treat it with different regard. I mean, you know, coming here is not, it's not even like a great game last night with the Seahawks. I mean, you know, they're just animals. They're just tearing people up. I mean, you know, don't get on the field with them. You're in trouble. I mean, I was texting back and forth to Dr. Godot from Sacramento. Oh, man, I would send over the some of the funny pictures he had, believing that they were going to win. San Francisco was going to win. I told him from the beginning, y'all shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have scheduled this game, you know, because
they just don't know how to do nothing but beat you. So it ended up the same way, but we didn't take it to 50 points, but it was close. But see, and you know, and you got to have, okay, I'll use that. You got to have some respect for that team. A lot of people on the East Coast, they ain't even looked at what the Seahawks has been doing. Now, I'm talking football. That's all right. They ain't playing right now, so you ain't got to go and dial it up on your phone. But see, you gotta have some respect for them. And a lot of the East Coast, even the East Coast broadcasters, you can hear them saying, well, I didn't really watch the Seahawks very much. You should have. They were 14-3. And see, God's got a better record than that. He's a gazillion and zero. I mean, he's one for everybody, never loses. And you're on Team Jesus. I watched you last night as you was jumping for the game. Come on, can't you jump for Jesus? That's a T-shirt, jump for Jesus. Dion, there we go. Print media, jump for Jesus at PCC. This marketing stuff just comes out of me. But see, we need to be jumping for Jesus, okay? If we can just do it with, you know, Nike, we can definitely jump for Jesus. And because, but I was texting back and forth. The Lord says, read some of the texts, okay? I was texting back and forth because I want to show you, you should be for your team. You should be excited for your team. I need a camera. Where's our wild camera? Bring your wild camera up here. Come on, get loose here for a second. Because, you know, go ahead, just take it off the tripod if you have to. And just come on up here. I just want, see, because this, we should be wild about whatever we do. I'm wild about my wife. Wow! I'm wild about my kids. Hey, what's going on? My grandkids. You saw they take over anyhow. You know, but you should be wild about the Lord and get excited. Now, I want to show you this because at halftime, I was telling him they should probably quit now. Now, this is just about a football team. And he said, God is good to the Seahawks and to Dan Shorter. I said, that is true. Dr. Donald Shorter Sr. Thank you that it's over. That's what Now, this is what I put it on the screen. This is what I sent him at halftime. Okay. Y'all got to see this. I said, y'all in trouble, basically. Can you bring it up? Switch. Okay, go on focus, bro. You got it? I want you to see this. Okay. Now he had sent me this, saying he's excited about the game. But I ended up sitting in this at halftime. See, whatever you do, you ought to be excited about it. Come on, give God some praise up in here. You're on the biggest winning team there ever was, Team Jesus. And you should at least be like Will Ferrell here, excited. And he's excited about Santa Claus, who ain't even real. So I'm saying to you, we should reverence the Lord. Y'all got that? And I'm gonna tell him, look at our live stream. We talked about you, brother. Now let's look at this very carefully. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, you really want to get to know, especially the Lord or anything about the things of God, you're going to have a reverence for God. And this is one of the reasons why I don't click with some people. Because they don't reverence the Father. Now, if my children didn't reverence me, they were getting the belt. I told you not to do that. You didn't listen to me. Come on over here. Now, I didn't spank them a whole lot. Some of them, I don't even remember spanking at all. Some of them I do. But, you know, you're going to have some reverence for your daddy. And I'm a human being. We should have some
reverence for God. But it's good for you because it causes us to be able to have knowledge. You don't really know yourself until you know the Lord. You get to know yourself through God. I love what Pastor Don says. Pastor Don Jr. says, you know, you start reading the word gonna read you. That is a true statement. And so God wants you to read yourself by reading him. In fact, okay, go to Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is. We'll see. Now I'm just flying by the Holy Spirit right now. I got other notes. I got pages of notes for weeks. But God's showing me to go somewhere. Go to Matthew chapter 10. It's either Matthew or Mark. Because I want to show you something here. Matthew 10 and close to the end. Look at verse number 40 for one thing. Let's go to verse number 4, 10:40. Okay, 10:40. He that receiveth you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. See, you have to get this, and even in ministry, it gets this way. He that receives a prophet, a preacher, in the name of the prophet, a preacher, shall receive a prophet or preacher's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, if you don't receive people, you're not going to get the goods that they have for you. If you don't receive the Lord, you'll never really get what God has for you there. So you gotta work on your face. You got to work on your action. You got to move your body. You moved your body yesterday when they made all them touchdowns. I know I did. I couldn't even sit back no more. I was up like this the whole game. And Kathy, she was halfway falling asleep. I kept saying, did you see that? She put one eye open. I saw it. She ain't that much of a football fan, but she was trying to watch. I saw it, Don. Yeah, sure. But see, you got to learn how to receive. And that's why sometimes people that don't receive the pastor. Okay, I'm going there. You're not going to receive what God has for you because there is nobody else assigned to you if you've been assigned to this church. And let me say it this way. No one else will give a rip about you if you don't go to the place you're supposed to be at. God gives a pastor a heart for you. And you can punk them off if you want to, but you're punking off the only person on the planet that you're assigned to be under. I'm not getting angry. I'm just trying to help you because I hate to see people waste their time. So if you come to the church with contempt, you sitting there, you know, whatever you say is whatever you say. I ain't worried about nothing, you know, because I don't need you anyhow. Then you telling God he made a mistake by assigning pastors to believers everywhere. You need someone to help you, and you need God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of that knowledge, beginning of that understanding. See, because we have to see that what God is doing in our lives is important. I mean, I said it is important. And we should take God seriously. Now, I want to make sure that we get this, because if we don't get it, we're gonna have to repeat the class. Did you hear what I said? And there's a whole lot of folks still taking third grade up in the church. They can't get past. They can't get past. Can't get past. One of these things like this, you know, it's, you're saying we can cancel debt? Do you think God can't do that? He can do that so easily for you. Okay, they're prosperity preachers. What am I supposed to be? Telling you you're broke, you're going to stay broke, busted, and disgusted for the rest of your life. Is that what I'm supposed to tell you? You're supposed to come here to hear that. First of all, you ain't going to keep coming. I'm not going to keep coming to tell me something that I'm already dealing with is what I'm going to always deal with. Why do I need to hear that from you? I need to hear something about what's different. And some of us, we hate prosperity. Spirit of God's talking to me now. You hate it. And you think preachers only want your money. No, we want your soul. I do not want to go to heaven and look around for you and you ain't there. I want to see all the people that was under my covering until Jesus came and took over what was his anyhow. I want to see all of them in heaven. Now, I can't guarantee that, but I'm going to do my best to make sure it's hard for you to go to hell. You ain't going to be able to use me as an excuse. You ain't going to say, well, he didn't tell me. You know, I'm telling you everything that you could possibly need to make into those pearly gates. Okay? So let's go here again back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. Are you getting something? Turn to somebody saying, I'm getting something. All right, then write it down if you're getting it. Okay. Write it down so you can use it. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of knowledge, beginning of knowledge. The world, what they do is they profess themselves as wise and they become fools. We got a whole lot of them. We have one special name that we have for them, politician. They profess that they're wise. They get into Washington, D.C. with all that money and find out how to manipulate that money to be able to get that money to go into their account, just a little bit of it, not all of it. They'll help some people, but they're getting some of that money. And either they go to jail or go to hell. One or two. You steal, thou shalt not steal. You can't steal all the taxpayers' money. We have a fiduciary responsibility at this church to where the IRS could be able to say whatever they wanted to say to this church and other churches if they do not do it correctly. And so does the politician. You're helping people with a nonprofit. You are not to take that money and make it a bank account for you. Somebody needs to hear this, and probably a preacher. Maybe online. And that's one of the reasons why some people want to have a Bible study at their own house and won't come to church, because you want people's tithes and offerings, or you want to keep yours. You ain't going to get rich that way. You're going to be broke, and you're certainly not going to be happy. So I'm talking directly. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You're the one. I'm talking to you. I know who I'm talking to. Spirit of God is revealing who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. You're like Simon, the sorcerer, that bedazzled the people, bedazzled them with all kinds of different stuff. You need to drop it. You need to get your rump in church and watch 2 minutes of online and then talk about you've been to church. See, I get these assignments. This is my assignment. I'm a soulish preacher. I preach what the soul is dealing with, mind, will, and emotion. So I get these assignments. Don't look at me funny. I'm anointed to do this. This is what I got to say. And so God reveals these things to me. But I'm saying there's more than one preacher. This is the reason why you want to have your own little church. Because you don't want to, first of all, pay your own tithes. You think to another man. And then you want other people to sometimes come to your house and you take a collection. We had a guy in this ministry that did that. When we first started out, he thought because we were young, we were stupid. And we have the Spirit of God. And he was being invited by women over to their house, or he would invite them over to his place, but most of the time he'd go over to the other one's place. Only women. That's why the Bible called them silly women in Timothy. He would go over their house, who knows what else he was doing, and he'd say, I'm going to have a Bible study with you. And he would have them tithe to him. And then he came back to this church to pick out more people, because some people come to church to get customers. There's more people here. So you can, if you're a barber or you have a beauty shop or whatever, you pass out enough cards, you can get some money. Anyhow, so he was having a Bible study at different women's houses. And the women started coming to us saying, I don't think this is right what he's doing, and he's receiving our tithes. And we watched it, because sometimes we'll just watch. We watched it for a while, and then after a while, someone said, he has a business card that has your name on it, Pastor Shorter, and saying that he's you. And he's walking around the mall handing out these cards. He says, he's saying he's me? Yeah, he's Pastor Shorter. Okay, I said, this is crazy. Then he showed up at church one day. I'm just telling you why I talk the way I do. We have years and years of things that God brings up in my spirit to be able to help us to be able to know what to do to help people. And so then he came to the church and he started accusing my wife. He said, and I know about you too. This is the devil. He said, I know what you've been doing too. She said, you are definitely the devil. You get your rump out of this church. Called security, said, get them out of here. You better not ever come, because I know where I'm at. My life is straight, and you're a liar. That dude left this place. The last we heard, he was having mental challenges. He fell into that and had to go on lithium, thorazine, all this kind of stuff because, you know, he got away from God and got into himself. You got to watch who you get into. You and I are not all that. We have to be able to rely on the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. Not who we are, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm giving you instruction. If you despise this, you're sort of described here. Thank God we're not. We're wise people. I want people to tell me something. I grew up in the media where everything that I said and everything I did on radio or television, we sit down usually at least once a week and look at the tape or listen to the teaching, I mean the on-air stuff that I did, and critique it. I'm used to critique. I want critique. Please tell me, because I want to improve. But some people, you tell them one thing and, oh, who do you think you are telling me anything? You're never going to grow. You have stopped growing as soon as you stopped being able to be instructed. Every one of us needs someone to tell us the truth. And apparently, God, if God, I asked you last hour, how many here I knew before we started the church? No hands went up except for my brother-in-law who was disobedient and stood up. I'm praying for him. He's been that way for a long time. I don't know what it is. But anyhow, nobody stood up. So I didn't know you. God drew you here. So if you don't like being here, talk to him. But we love being here because we love learning and love being obedient and love being wise. God gives us wisdom when we have the fear of the Lord. Say amen to that. Go with me to Genesis now, chapter 12 and verse number 1. We've got just a minute or two to be able to touch this again. Now, we are part of three families. Once you're born again, the Spirit of the Lord revealed to me, we are part of three families. You're part of the family of man through Adam. You're part of the family of Abraham through faith. And you're part of the family of God through Jesus. You are, as a born-again believer, part of three families. You have a family relationship with all three of these areas. The family of man, all men, all women, all mankind. You can't be on this planet as a human being without being part of the family of man. And this is why some people do feel like we're all in the same family. But we're really physically from the fleshly side from Adam, true statement. But when it starts getting into faith, we're not in the same family with all the people in the world. If you believe in Jesus or you have faith in God as Abraham had, now you're separating yourself from the family of man to be part of the family of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus. And then, of course, once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we were of the family of the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, you from the devil. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Some of y'all are going to get punched. Don't tell them, you from the devil. Your dad is the devil. Don't say that. This is a very proper service. Okay. But you and I were under the fathership or the fathering of the devil. The Bible says that. I hate to say it, but it's in the Gospels. Jesus said it. You are of your father, the devil, and you're going to do what he wants you to do until you get a new father. So you never was fatherless. You've always had a father. You just had a terrible father. But what we need to do is that we have changed families, and it's time to pick up new traditions. Now, I showed you what my grandkids do at the house. They don't ask. They just grab the stuff. The house is a mess. We're trying to train them to clean it up before they leave, but usually they escape. We're working on that part. It's not easy. Being a grandpa is pretty tough. Just kidding. Just kidding. It gets a lot of fun. But they come over and they tear up everything. They play with everything. They come and, I mean, they got the nerve to do me like they did with their dad. They bump into me and try to jump on me. He likes it. I'm like, get off of me. Especially Cameron. Cameron is one. Get away from me. But that's my family. Hey, a little different, but that's my family. I've got a simulator at home. And if they're good, I let them fly the simulator. Yesterday, they didn't fly the simulator. Tell you what happened to them. No simulator for you. But see, we're part of the family of God. We're part of the family of Abraham. Family of faith. We believe by faith. God said it, and he did it. And this is what God said to him. This is how God started it. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Now, listen, you don't have to do nothing from being part of the family of Adam except for try to escape that. Because Adam sinned. And that's the most notable thing of his family. He sinned. He was disobedient to God. Now, I'm studying how Eve had a part of that. Because it's sort of a pointy thing that what God says about Eve. Ladies, don't look at me funny now. So I'm just trying to study that because there's a real heavy part in there. Because, okay, y'all have to understand this. Now, because Adam was here first, he was more responsible. He's actually the one, I believe, heard what God said about don't eat of the fruit. It's in my book, Take Control of Your Thoughts and Casting Down Imaginations, I believe. But anyhow, he heard it. I believe he heard it first. And then she came along. She sort of hearsay it from him. And that's how she got it mixed up. But deep down inside, we all know what's right and what's wrong. You know when you're wrong. You know when you're doing things. You know, that's a built-in thing God has in us. We feel funny when we're doing stupid stuff. I say stupid stuff because I'm trying to relate to just anybody. And we all do things that we know are just, it's not right. I'll say it that way. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family. So he was part of the family of man. He had his own relatives there also. Get away from them. And this is, I got to preach this. You have got to get happy with not being with non-believers as your family. We're to reach them, but we're not to be them. And I don't care if they're your close relatives, your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy. You have to learn how to get away from people that are not living godly. You love them. Some you have to love from a distance. Others you can be around them just to try to influence them. Not to be there because evil communications will corrupt your good manners. I wish it was only the reverse, that your good manners is going to slap down any evil communications. And that's evil communications. And people communicate evil communications. Go put 1 Corinthians 15:33 up there. Evil communications corrupts good manners. You can be the best prim, proper believer there is, this Christian that is Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two Shoe, and you are a wonderful person of God. But you get around the right people communicating. I like what it says in the King James, communicating. We communicate, 80% of our communication is body language. So it didn't even say anything. Evil communications corrupts your good training from PCC. It goes out the window. You get with the right person, you'll find yourself doing the wrong thing. Ooh. I'd write that down if I were you. You get with the right person, you're going to end up doing the wrong thing. See, because evil communications corrupts good manners. I wish it was the reverse, that good manners beats up evil communications. And see, people communicate in a lot of different ways. Some things are said, well, like I like to say it, some things are taught and some things are caught. Some things, you just hang around people and you start picking up an ism. My grandson,
says a certain word, and I kept asking, why do you keep saying that? And I can't remember exactly the word right now, but and I asked him, why did he say that? And I'm not going to tell you what he said, because his dad's sitting here. So it's not a good shoot, Dad. But he just says snap all the time. Snap. Oh, snap. I said, well, why do you say that? Because my dad don't want me to say something else. I said, oh. So I say snap all the time. Snap. Oh, snap. Where's that? Oh, snap. Where'd I put this? Oh, snap. 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 You are how old? I'm 8. Going on 29. Anyhow, but he says snap. And I started hanging around him for a couple days. Guess what I started saying? Snap. Now, the communications is not evil, but I started picking it up. I kept hearing in my mind, snap, 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 snap. You hang around people that cuss a lot, you're going to be comfortable with cussing. You hang around people. Well, in fact, we were walking from intercessory prayer. See, I like to tell you real life things. Walking from intercessory prayer down to the lounge here, to the pastor's lounge here, and Deacon Jeff Mitchell was walking, my wife and I. And he said, Pastor, you're rubbing off on me. I said, what do you mean? He said, Pastor, you're rubbing off on me. I'm starting to compliment my wife more. Because I'm around you and you're always complimenting your wife. And my wife said, you've been hanging around Pastor Shorter, haven't you? Evil communication. I said, well, that's a good thing. Unlock the door. Let me get away from you. It was so funny. But this is really true. Evil communications corrupts good manners. So I'm a Christian. I'm always be a Christian. Now the Bible says, watch it, you know. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you always may also be tempted. It says, hey, take heed to what you're doing, lest you fall. You can't act like you will never fall into anything. You can't have a bar ministry and go in there and drink a few beers and witness to people and call it church. If you had a problem with drinking, stay away from the clubs. I don't hear enough amens, especially from over here or somewhere. Say amen. If you had a problem with smoking dope, you don't need to be around a bunch of dope smokers trying to tell them how to stop smoking dope. Pray for them and their dope. Okay? Because you don't need to be there, because there's evil communications that will go on with that. You're around a bunch of people that's got weird lifestyles. The Bible calls it, they're involved with strange flesh. Men with men, women with women. You don't need to hang around with that. I said, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to be with those people. Say hi, how you doing, and just move on. I don't care if they're relatives. Let that sink in. Okay, do not be deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts what? Go back to Genesis. I'm going to leave it right here. Come on now. Because he said, listen, I got to get you away from people that's going to corrupt you. I got to get you to where I can really bless you. And he became, this is just what it says in the Bible. Rip the page out if you don't like. He became, because he left them folk, very rich. But he also was the father of faith, because Abraham became faithful to God and believed what God would say. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out. What do you need to get out of? Get out of it. Get out of the pornography. Get out of the cussing. Get out of the anger. Get out of the moping. Get out of the, I'm so cool, I don't have to praise the Lord. Get out of it. In Jesus' name, come out of it. Get out of not having reverence for God. Get out of making your family God. Get out of worshiping yourself.
What do you need to get out of? We all need to get out of something. I had to get out of some things. Did you have to get out of anything to come to the Lord? I had to get out a whole lot of stupid stuff. And ain't no business what it was. I know you wonder. Pastor Wood, you can tell me. I ain't gonna tell nobody. Next thing I'll be all over Facebook and Instagram. Nah, ain't none of your business. That is under the blood as far as the east is from the west. We heard that earlier. Thank you, Pastor Don, for saying that. We appreciate that. So God says, get out! Get out! Isn't that funny? That's what he said to demons. Get out! Come out of him! Get out! Get out of my face! That's what you need to say to some people. Get out of my face with your raggedy life. You want me to live like you? I'm not doing it. I'm going to live a godly life. I'm not going to be a complainer. I'm not going to sit around and not appreciate what God has done for me. Get out of me. Get out of here. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. So God can bring in. Come on in, God. Come on in, blessings. Come on in, goodness. Goodness and mercy. Come on now. Following me. Oh, praise God for that. Last thing we're going to say. Get out of your country. Okay. I'm going to say this to folks in America. I love America. My dad fought in this country. We believe he died partially because of some chemicals he was around, because he worked around nuclear things, especially in the Enola Gay, which was the plane that took the bombs over to Japan. He was on that island. He worked sort of like joint base we have now, with joint base military bases. He worked like that. He worked in a lot of aviation kind of things, even though he was in the army. And we really believe that his blood disease came from chemicals that he was around, and he gave his life for this country, we believe. Yeah, he lived to be 80 or 85 years old, something like that, but still, he gave his life. But if you make this country your God, you've missed the kingdom. America is not heaven. America is not the kingdom of God. We benefit the country called the United States of America by being from the kingdom of God, by being a child of God. We learn how to be good citizens in this country. It's not the reverse. We are better, a better country when we are better believers. This country needs good Christian families teaching their children, you shall not kill, don't steal, don't commit false witness, don't commit adultery, don't do these things, don't hurt people, pray for your enemies. This country is not heaven. I don't care how much we love this country, we can't make this country our kingdom. So get out of your country. From your family. Love your mother and your father. She's gone. Live right so you can see her again. So work yourself into the kingdom of God. From your family. And from even the little house you live in. A little house on the prairie. Get out of it. And I'll show you a place you're going to have to use some faith now. Because you're a different kind of family. You're not part of the family of man only. You're now the family of faith. Go to the place that I will show you. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me, God says. You take one breath here and the next breath in heaven. You will be gone. And there ain't no coming back unless God performs a miracle. How many receive this today? Clap your hands, everybody. Let's make a confession. Say, God, thank you that you took me out of my family to put me in a family that's a better family so that I can bless my family. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be part of the family of man. Thank you, God, that I was birthed here. I am part of the family of man. Thank you, God, that you've given me an opportunity to be part of the family of faith, the faith family of Abraham, And thank you, God, that you've given me an opportunity to be a part of the family of God, the kingdom of God. Jesus, my elder brother. God, you're my father. I receive my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, Lord, you're preparing a place for me in your house. And I give you glory for all of it in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's give God some praise. We got three families we're part of. You never were without a father.